What's the good, the bad, and the weird of OnlyFans? We answer that question and more this week on Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is the show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, comic books, and this week, OnlyFans. I'm your host, DJ Wooldridge. With me, as always, is Roxy. Hi, Roxy.
Hi, DJ.
And today, we have a very special guest. Introduce yourself. Let the kids at home know who you are.
Hi, my name is Zia. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I'm really excited. I know Roxy from AfterBuzz. We were there together for 3 years, maybe, I think? Four?
A while.
Yeah, it was a really long time.
Marvel movie news when I was doing DC movie news for years.
Yes, and, yep.
All different shows. We both were on like 80 shows, I feel like.
Yeah, like 1,000. It was at one point, I remember, I added up the hours that I was at AfterBuzz, and I was like, this might be as much as my job. Not that I was complaining. I was so happy.
Yeah, it was amazing. Good times.
So what I'm hearing is Roxy was DC, Z was Marvel. You guys were rivals. You were in the trenches.
Mm-hmm. Every time we saw each other, we're like, ugh.
Yeah, because nobody who loves one of those franchises loves the other franchise. That's the way it works.
Them's the rules. I only like one. Those are the rules. You've got to pick sides. It's like your favorite sports team. Insert sports team names here.
DJ, I wore one just to help you out.
Celtics and their rivals,
the Lakers.
The Lakers. There it is. Aha,
so that's basketball.
There's a whole show about it right now.
I know, but I didn't like that show as much as you, and I'm still holding off watching the second season.
I can't even talk about the show.
I know, I can't even talk about it. So we're having Zia on this week to talk about OnlyFans a little bit, but before we get into that, let's do a little bit of business up top. As always, if you want to watch this show live, if you want to watch it ad-free, if you want to check out Patreon exclusive content like Roxy and Mai's Q&A, or I do a show with Sal called Spider-Versity, you can do that over at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Speaking of Sal and I, we do another show where we talk about X-Men movies. We just did the latest episode of that. We're talking about X-Men First Class. That dropped as of this recording the previous Wednesday. Those happen every month live on youtube.com/onlystupidanswers. And there'll probably be a link somewhere around here to check it out. So go check it out. If you're listening to this on iTunes, please give us a 5-star review. We appreciate it. And it's helpful. And if you listen on Spotify every week, we ask a question. Last week's question was, what are your favorite books? Yeshua Zalewski said, I'm going to cheat and say Stephen King's Dark Tower series. Shout out to Mike Flanagan for taking that on, hopefully. And Neil Gaiman's American Gods and Neverwhere. Allison Edgerly says, right now I'm loving The Murderbot Diaries. Fun name. And Matthew Chavez says, I just finished Between Two Fires by Christopher Buhlmann. Brilliant historical fiction / fantasy / horror novel. And it's not a series and pretty short. Big recommend all. Roxy, have you updated any of your reading since Maud was on?
No, but I'm still reading the one book, which is really impressive for me because I'm not good at the reading. I'm good at the watching.
Zia, what's your stance on reading?
I love reading. As a kid, it was such a huge part of my personality that I would meet people or like re-see people that I hadn't seen in a long time later in life. And they'd be like, hey, do you still read a lot? Because that was all I did. That was like it.
So when we were talking about it, Roxy was big into the nonfiction. I think specifically biographies.
Yeah.
I usually read, right now I'm reading A City Primeval because of the new Justified spinoff. Do you have a preferred like genre, medium?
Fantasy.
Fantasy?
All fantasy pretty much. Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, obviously. But I think one of my favorite series actually is, right now I'm reading Books of Magic by Neil Gaiman. That's great. I really like it so far. I'm not that far into it. It's a huge. But I think one of my favorite series is by Clive Barker, who wrote the Hellraiser series.
Yeah.
But this is more like fantasy mixed with horror. It's Aberrat. And there's 3 books so far. He's supposed to be writing more. And I've been waiting like 12 years for the next one, Clive.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The next one.
What was the word you used? Aberrat?
Aberrat, yeah.
That's the name of the book, or that's the type of...
It's the name of the book. So it's a series. There's 3 of them. So it's the first one is Aberrat. Then I think the second one is Days of Magic, Knights of War. And then the third one is... I'm forgetting for some reason. Yeah. But they're amazing.
So you're looking at the people yelling at George R. R. Martin, you know, like, you guys aren't following Clive Barker, all right? So fucking calm down.
Yeah, seriously. It's been a long time and I'm really salty about it.
Yeah.
I love him.
Somehow I because he Clive Barker also did, well, I'm going to seem real stupid if I'm wrong. Didn't he also do Candyman? I was talking about
stupid DJ. Only stupid answers is just the name of the show. So you gotta only have
Occasionally do some say dumb stuff, but yeah, good, great. He does do Candyman. Anyway, I was talking about it for somebody, and I Bernstein Bared myself, and I was like, yeah, Clive Barker, he died. He sure didn't. He's still around. He did not die.
He's so sad.
Yeah, he's still kicking.
How is that Bernstein Baring yourself? Is that what they did in the Bernstein Bears?
No, just the it's the Mandela effect, where like basically somehow misinformation becomes history in your brain, and then people
we all said the name wrong forever.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes. And I might have just said it wrong now because I don't. Yeah, great. And then the idea that Nelson Mandela died in prison—he did not. That's not how history worked. And then people will be like, "Oh man, it can't be that I just remembered something wrong. It has to be that time travelers rewrote history." It's like, no.
Yes.
The brain's weird. It's the brain's a weird place. So, long story short, I think Patreon.com give us 5-star reviews. That was the point of this section. Now on to the next one. News. We got a little bit of news for you. Roxy.
Yeah, DJ.
Before we get into what you sent me, I was going to jump into that, but I wanted to talk a little bit about, as of this Friday, for those living on the West Coast, guess what? We've got a hurricane/tropical storm hitting our way. So, Roxy, you had not heard about this?
Well, here's what happened this morning. I'm in a group text with a few girlies because it's one of my girlfriend's birthday tomorrow. And
happy birthday.
We go out on a boat. We sent a group text this morning saying, hurricane, let's do KBBQ instead.
Yes.
And I was like, what hurricane? And then I came onto the show and you were like, hurricane. And now I have a feeling I'm going to find out. What's the hurricane?
The hurricane is Hurricane Hillary. Concern is growing. This is per CNN. Concern is growing. Hurricane Hillary will unleash a prolific amount of flooding rainfall on the southwestern U.S. and parts of California as it makes a rare move over the region Sunday and into early next week, triggering the first ever tropical storm watch for California. Hillary could dump more than a year's worth of rain in parts of three states, California, Nevada, and Arizona. Because of the threat, parts of California face a rare high risk for excessive rainfall. This level 4 of 4 threat is the first to ever be issued for this part of Southern California. Currently, I believe, as of this recording, and by the time we drop this episode Monday, so if you're living in the Southwest United States, it's already going to be raining. Right now it's a powerful Category 4 hurricane. They're predicting now that by the time it gets to us, it will be a tropical storm. And before we were on air, I was telling Zia, like, I grew up in Florida, so the tropical storm is like, yeah, whatever, man. Except for the fact that we don't have the infrastructure for it here. We're not built to handle that amount of wet. We don't normally get it.
Moving to LA, because we were talking about this before too, but I'm originally from Hawaii, where it's very tropical and we get storms and hurricanes and stuff all the time. I moved to LA and I remember watching the news with my dad when I first got there, and it made me laugh so hard. I was like cry laughing because they were like, as you can see, the sidewalk is wet behind me, and it was like sprinkling. And I was like, how is this news? I didn't realize just how dry it was there. I guess I should have, because it's a desert, but
yeah.
They're not used to rain.
We're not built for it here.
No.
My follow-up questions are, number one, a year's worth of rain, like this past year that we had, because that's a ton of rain, or all the other years in which I lived here where it was almost no rain.
I think it's it's a year's worth of rain. So the normal amount of rain that we would get in a year is all happening on like 2 days.
This is so problematic for so many reasons, but we are in global boiling, and that's the main one. Also, side related, because I didn't ask you about it, Zia, because I completely forgot. How's everybody doing in Hawaii?
Oh, so my family's from the Big Island. I don't have any family on Maui, thank God. Right. But I do have a couple of friends that moved there. They're fine. But it's really, really bad.
yeah,
bear, which is awful.
And I feel like if you're just yeah, if you're looking at stuff and Hawaii's on fire and California's getting a hurricane, it's like, wait a second, this isn't how things are supposed to work. And I think there's a reason we stopped calling it global warming and started calling it climate change. And it's a term, hopefully I'm using it correctly, but a term I've heard used in discussion of this is desertification, which, you know, obviously a lot of times when we think of deserts, we think of sand. But a big part of it is that desert climates are very erratic. And so it's about extremes. So like extreme heat, extreme cold. And unfortunately, we're making the entire planet that way. Nothing is stable. Everything is the most extreme version of everything. And we have not evolved to live in that. Most things have not evolved to live in that environment. And so it's not fun to talk about climate change all the time, but it is a thing that we all need to be aware of and concerned about, and pushing the people that can do stuff about it to do stuff about, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, dot, 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 duh.
Mm-hmm.
And not like what you're saying, duh, but just, I can't get people on the internet to agree that the Earth's round. So I just don't know how that we're going to do this. Like,
yeah, but again, I think it's yes, and I think the majority of like normal people are probably on board, the majority. It's the people that make money from all the fossil fuels we burn that are
when you
the
say
problem.
Majority though, like do you mean 51%
of normal people, not internet Twitter people, not the Twitter checkmark blue checkmark folks? Yes, I think a majority of people
the majority is not 90%, you know, like we are with a slim margin here.
But even if those people, like it's one of those, like we could all recycle and it doesn't mean anything if the plastics company doesn't change the way, like, you know, the individual response.
I hear you.
Is less impactful than corporate response, unfortunately. And not for nothing,
I'll be taking a shower and then I'll be in there for like maybe 20 minutes and all of a sudden I'll get this like horrible ping of guilt being like I'm killing the planet, and then I'm like, well, actually,
yeah,
that's not me.
Not for nothing, this is a pop culture show traditionally. So I will tell you all, unrelated, there's a fantastic movie called How to Blow Up a Pipeline. I think it's my favorite movie of the year, and it makes a very I would think strong argument that radical environmental disruption by activists is not only morally a moral responsibility, but also a legitimate act of self-defense. And looking at our environment right now, it is hard to disagree with that assessment. But I highly cannot recommend enough that everybody watch How to Blow Up a Pipeline, because not only does it have an important message, but it's also very good. And usually those things don't go together. So check it out. All right. On the other side of issue, everything's falling apart. Roxy, you sent me this WG update via Hollywood Reporter. The Writers Guild of America West has broken its relative silence over the past few days amid negotiations to release a 15-page antitrust report arguing Disney, Amazon, and Netflix are poised to become the new gatekeepers of the entertainment industry.
Yeah. Zia, how up to date are you with WGA SAG strike stuff? Is this affecting your life right now?
Not at all. And I honestly don't know a ton about it. I just what I've seen online and what my friends have been talking about a little bit, but otherwise not that much.
Yeah. I'm learning more and more that as much as I feel like, I feel like a broken record sometimes continuing to explain things, because I'm like, oh my God, people are going to be so sick of me because I just keep giving tiny updates on what's going on. I'm learning that people don't know what is going on, and a lot of major news publications are not covering this because, spoiler alert, their money comes from the people that they need are trying to protect. I mean, there's been, DJ, did you see this week some of the articles from Variety and Deadline that were like just straight up made up quotes about?
I didn't so much see those headlines. However, I saw the writer people I follow on X responding to those headlines.
It was like made up quotes, or I don't know, maybe they tortured somebody into saying it, of like, I'm the husband of somebody who's a writer, and I know for a fact that writers don't want there to be smaller amount of people in a bigger amount of people in rooms. They like the small rooms. And please let my wife go back to work because little pay is better than no pay. Like it's just the major publications. You always have to look at where the money is coming from, obviously. And so I will continue to talk about it here and all over the place. But this was a really interesting week because WGA went back to the table, and back at the table, they are now talking about, they were doing a media blackout at first because they were in negotiations and they felt like the people, rightfully so, would fuck that up for them. They were like, okay, if we tell the public what the studios have come back and offered us, then there's going to be so much discourse online about this that we're not actually going to be able to get a deal. So they were waiting until, they are waiting until they've kind of figured it a little bit out more. But yeah, as DJ said, this was in a new 15-page antitrust report, the striking union says that the rise and growth of these three companies, so Disney, Amazon, and Netflix, offer an alarming window into the future of media. And they kind of talk about, they're not calling it a monopoly, but essentially they talk about how there are going to be no smaller companies left if we continue to allow them to do what they're doing. Yeah. And these powerhouses have such a, again, they're not using the word monopoly, but kind of monopoly on the market, because when you have an entire vertical where you have your own streaming service, you've got your everything, every production is made in-house, you are have all of your own digital verticals, you have your own, you have money in publications, you own a corner of the market, and there's really no checks and balances to that. And with the Amazon, Netflix, and Disney's of the world specifically, as we know, they have it all, right? Like Amazon has all of that plus all of their commerce. So it's very concerning. And I think that the question is, should this be allowed? And if it shouldn't be allowed, who tackles that and how? So yeah, I think that the strike right now is just shining a major light on what many of us already know is an existing problem. But is finally a problem that they need to figure out, because like, and here they reference Disney's mergers, right, with Pixar and Marvel and Lucasfilms. And is, what does this lead to? You know, if they have ever, if three companies buy out all the other ones that are struggling, what will that end up looking like? So yeah, it's an interesting article Hollywood Reporter did on this one. And I think worth a read, but pretty much that's what's going on. SAG still on the back burner right now, as they are not up to the table yet, and they shouldn't be because they haven't waited as long as WGA.
So. Yeah, if we only can do one at a time, which who knows if that's how it has to work, but let's say it is. You know, it's they've been on they haven't been out there quite as long. Leonard Kim in the chat says not quite a monopoly, but more an oligopoly, which is a state of limited competition in which a market is shared by a small number of producers or
that's
sellers.
Right.
But Roxy, have you considered this, that in America, we're basically making every industry this way. So maybe it's okay if only a handful of people have the power over everything. Have you considered that?
I have not.
Okay.
Because I know that's wrong. It's like, it is so problematic for art. It's insane. I think for the, I told you about, and Zia, I don't know if you have been talking to anybody about the AI issues, but when I was at Comic-Con in San Diego, there was just so many people that don't work in the industry there that were like, what's wrong with AI taking over? Like, we'll have just as good a content. It'll be the best. It'll be cheaper and it'll just be the best. And it won't be. It won't be. If there's only three companies in the world that have all of the productions, art will suffer. If humans aren't making art, art will suffer.
Humans will suffer.
humans will suffer.
Yeah.
And humans will suffer because the art is as bad, and humans will suffer because they don't have jobs and a bajillion other reasons.
They don't have a creative outlet. Like, there's a reason that not, I mean, obviously not everybody, but there are a lot of people who are artistic, and that needs to come out somewhere or another. And I think the other thing that people don't realize too is if you don't get paid for your art, then you can't create it. Like, if you're spending all of your time working multiple jobs as your day job, and you're not creating, making any money for the art that you're creating, eventually you're not going to be able to create it anymore.
Yeah, because you got to eat.
But I think we all agree that the job of the machines shouldn't be the, you know, the stuff that we all don't want to do, like the data entry. We shouldn't let the machines do that. We should keep the people doing that. It's art,
right? Exactly.
That the machines should be doing, so that the humans can do the real work of putting these numbers into spreadsheets.
Machines have so much childhood trauma; they've got to get it out somewhere.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's an interesting thing too, because I think that, you know, we've seen parallels of stuff like this before. It's just, it is interesting to me how industry in general, and I think capitalism more specifically, it seems more and more anti-human to the degree that in the early stages of cars, people kind of saw them as a nuisance. Like, you can be hit by this thing. Like, we're walking, everything's kind of within walking distance, or we can take a trolley or something. And now these cars are around. And so there was a conservative effort by the automobile industry to change the paradigm around that, specifically to the term, like, we're all familiar with jaywalking, which is when you walk just in the middle of the street. Jay was a derogatory slang term. So the idea of, like, oh, if you're walking where cars are supposed to be, you're an idiot. Actually, people suck and cars are great. Buy more cars.
Where does Jay come from?
It's just like an old timey, back in the day, back when they were coining the term jaywalking. I don't know beyond
was
that,
it
but it was
dude?
Just, I don't know. I was just one guy named Jay that we all hated. But yeah, but it was just a derogatory, like, Jay is an idiot. So it's like, if you walk in front of a car, it's not the car's fault that you got hit. It's for you walking where we want cars to be. And of course, we've built our entire infrastructure around cars and everybody having individual cars that are pumping out carbon. And I think we, you know, obviously no notes on that. Everything's working out great. No problem that there's so many goddamn cars. So it's just interesting how that's what industry likes to do. It's like, well, there's this thing that can make us money at the expense of people. I guess fuck people then. And it's like, well, maybe not. Maybe we could, you know, make it, maybe we're people. And so maybe we should focus on taking care of people. But, you know, what the fuck do I know? So there you go. Everything's great in the world.
Things are fine. This is fine.
We've got an election. Election's coming up soon.
You know what I'm doing right now, which is looking up, was there originally a guy named Jay?
Yeah. Who was the first guy named Jay?
I don't know how to move forward. I like Mike Joyce in the chat. Jay ruined it for everyone.
Yeah.
This absolute bastard, Jay.
So while Roxy's looking that up, we're going to go to some ads.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we are back. Hello, thank you for joining us. And Zia, we have you here because we're talking about OnlyFans, and you're on OnlyFans. How did you end up on OnlyFans? What was that trajectory like?
So honestly, it was my husband's idea. he thought I would do well. He's like, it was during the pandemic that he first brought it up. And I was kind of like, I don't know. It wasn't until 2 years later that I was like, you know what? I think I want to try this. And it was, I guess you just see how well everybody else is doing. And I was working a couple of different jobs that I just absolutely hated. Mm-hmm. And it was not what I wanted to be doing with my life. And, yeah. And I sort of thought about it and I was like, you know, this could be something that A, it could be a really fun creative outlet, and B, it could be something that allows me to create things that I actually enjoy creating instead of being exhausted from working and then, you know, trying to do everything else on the side. So yeah, it was, I finally decided probably about 2 years after he first brought it up, that I wanted to give it a try, and it ended up being really, really good for me. So it was, I was able to quit my day job, thank God, and focus more on being an artist and creating, I guess, if you want to say.
Love it.
Yeah,
a lot. How did your husband bring it up? I'm just picturing myself with who I'm single as a Pringle, so hard to picture my husband at all. But if I was married and my husband was like, hey, I've got this idea. How do you feel about it? I feel like I would have some feels about that at first. What was the conversation like?
I was more just worried about – it wasn't necessarily that I had feels about – doing it, because I'm not like weird about my body or who sees it. I don't know. I grew up very heathen, like I like to say, on a tropical island. So now nobody's wearing a lot of clothes there. If you are, you're going to be really hot. And so it's not something that I ever really thought that much about. Like, I'm not a modest person really. So it was more, I worried about the repercussions professionally or how going forward in my life, because just because I felt that way, I knew a lot of other people could be judgmental. And it is something that I was working a job and doing OnlyFans at the same time. And I do think that that was a big issue with the guy that I was working with at the time.
Mm-hmm. So that was another question I kind of wanted to ask, because it does feel like there's still a lot of it's this weird competing urges on the internet, and you can't look at everybody on the internet as like, it's not different people with different backgrounds. So you might, that's something I always have to remind myself, is like, I'll get comments like, this is great. And then other comments that are like, fuck you. And it's like, what do you want from me? And I have to remind myself, like, these are different people. It's not one, I view them as like a mass, but it's like different individuals. But it is weird of like, the sexy photos do great on Instagram, but all the comments are like, ah, you're evil. And it's like, what are we doing? So I guess like, do you feel like there's still a stigma around, for lack of a better word, lewd content? And why do you think that persists?
Absolutely it is. And it's pretty much basically what you said, is that there are different people who have different views of the world because of how they were raised, because of the places that they come from, their own life experiences. And so that is also something that I have to remind myself of a lot, because it, not a day goes by that I don't get some sort of a hate comment or being called a whore in some form or fashion. It happens, and it doesn't even happen to me as much as I see it happen to, because a lot of my friends, or I have friends who are actually in the porn industry and, mm-hmm. or who do OnlyFans. Like, I have a lot of friends like that, and they're some of my favorite humans, like just some of the best people. And I think that it's easy to judge someone that you don't know. And I think a lot of people dehumanize sex workers. And mm-hmm. so to them, they feel okay saying something to them. Cause like, well, you're just a whore. You're not like a person with feelings. You obviously can't have correct opinions. You can't be smart. There's absolutely no way, because you use your body. But at the end of the day, everybody uses their body mm-hmm. to make a living, whether you do it manually, like you have to, it's your body. People's problem with it is that it's sexual. I think a lot of that comes from religion, for sure. Yeah. And because there's still so much religion in the world, there's going to be a lot of that. I wasn't raised with religion, so I don't have any sort of shame around sexuality or my body, like in any way, shape or form. That was like not a thing for me growing up. So it's hard for me to see that point of view, but there are so many people that have that point of view, like a lot, and you do see it online a ton. It is really, really interesting. But at the end of the day, I don't know why they care.
Just go do your own thing.
How do you
find your own line then? Like, you were raised in a way that this, you have no qualms with your body, as you shouldn't. And by the way, same, which I feel so lucky about that.
Yeah.
When I talk to my two fellow world girls on for one of my companies, the two of them were raised Catholic, and it comes up all the time that I just don't feel the same way and don't have the same issues with the way that I was raised, because Jews don't like do that really. We don't
right.
We just kind of run and live free. But how do you find your own line then? Because I know looking at your stuff, you do lewd, not nude, and you have different, you do have your own, like, this is what I do and that's not what I do. Where did you kind of make that line, and is it forever changing?
It's for 100% forever changing. Where I started is not where I'm at now. And it totally changes just based on how comfortable I am. Like, that's really all it is. It's 100% of feeling. I'm like, do I feel comfortable doing this? Yeah, I feel good about it. Okay. Because I don't think anyone should ever do something that they feel uncomfortable with. I think that's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. And yeah, it is. It's totally just a feeling. And I don't really have any logic behind it. It's more just like, you know what? I don't really want to spread my butthole for this guy, so I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it feels.
Do you, I know you said that your husband was the one who came up with the idea. Is it still like a collaborative effort where you're like, okay, is he your sounding board? And you're like, this is how I'm feeling about this today. And he's like, okay, well, what about this? Or is it now kind of like a one woman journey?
It's pretty much a one woman journey at this point. He used to help me shoot stuff. He used to come up with ideas for stuff. But now, yeah, all 100%. If I am feeling like a little bit iffy about something, I'll come to him and talk about it just to like get an idea of where he's at, or if he has any other ideas that make me feel a little bit better about something or something that I might be more comfortable with. So I do definitely still talk to him a lot. And it's nice. It is nice to have someone at home, because it's interesting. You do get a lot of comments of people being like, well, you're never going to find someone. married, but okay.
Yeah.
So it's fun to hear, to see those comments and then be able to go talk to the person that I love and live with about it. Because it, as much as you can say I have thick skin, and I do, because you have to. At no point do you not get bothered by some of the stuff that you read, because it's hard not to read horrible things said about you, and like, you do feel it.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have someone in real life that you're like, oh, none of this is real life. This is my life. These are my people.
Yeah. I think that's true of everybody, because obviously as the dude in the conversation, I think it's very likely I get significantly less, let's say, pushback than you two probably do in general on the internet. And it's like comments, whatever, they don't matter. And every once in a while you get one, you're like, fuck you, man. Fuck you.
Fuck right? You. You're like, wow, okay. Cool.
Went for my one insecurity.
Is there a theme of comments that as the one that gets under your skin the most? Like, is there a button that's pressed and you're like, yep, that one gets me every time?
You know, I do think it's a lot of the one where they're like, and I don't know why, because I have someone. I mostly just get annoyed because I'm like, you're so wrong. But it does get under my skin of the whole like, no one's going to take you seriously. Everybody's just going to want to bang you and you're never going to find anyone. And I'm like, what?
Such a weird assumption. Do you come back with here the receipts? Here's me and my man, or do you just let it ride?
I usually just let it ride. Every once in a while, I'll say something because I'm just like, this is getting ridiculous. Like, someone came in and they're like, you know, maybe you should stop. This comment was so bizarre because I have so many friends in the industry. And one of them was like, you should stop listening to your almost 40 single friends who, like, under the assumption that they had talked me into doing OnlyFans and my husband might actually not be okay with it. And I had to come back and be like, okay, first of all, the one friend that you're talking about doesn't have an OnlyFans. So I don't know why you thought that was a thing. Yeah. The other one has an OnlyFans, but I don't actually talk to her that much. Like, we're more acquaintances than friends. We've done some podcasts together. She's an awesome person, but we don't like hang out. It was my husband's idea, number three. Number four, I don't see how this, like, why you think this affects our life so much. Because I don't know what the assumption is that happens in my real life that they think that OnlyFans affects. The only thing that it affects is I was able to buy a house. Like, everything else about my relationship is exactly the same as it was before. OnlyFans has changed nothing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what they think.
Congrats on your house.
Thank you. It's been a freaking nightmare. I'm so glad we did it, but holy hell, no one tells you.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. So are these...
I feel so bad for you two homeowners. You two homeowners in loving marriages. I feel so bad for you guys. It must be so difficult.
It really is, though. I just had three leaks in my ceiling, and I'm $40,000.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. If there's an issue in the home, because your point, Roxy, is valid.
It is.
But let me remind you that everything in this country is a scam. So every level, it's like, oh, who's in your opportunity? How's the system going to fuck me over on this one? So both can be true at the same time. Your point is valid, but you know, we live in a scam.
Okay, but you got to wake up next to somebody you love this morning. Just remember that.
Fair. Good point. So with these comments, sorry everybody to focus on the comments. It's a big part of the culture of being online. Are these on OnlyFans or are these on Instagram, YouTube?
No. Instagram, Twitter. Twitter's probably the worst of it. Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Because I could imagine on Instagram and YouTube, people could just stumble across you, whereas OnlyFans, they're probably specifically coming towards you. So do you find on OnlyFans pretty chill for the most part?
OnlyFans is awesome. People that subscribe to me are so cool. And a big part of that is because they want to message you and they want to be able to talk to this person that they have been watching for however long on people from AfterBuzz, people from different podcasts I've done, like all over the place. And I got to say, like 90% of the messages and conversations that I'm in on OnlyFans are about have nothing to do with sex. They want to talk to me about movies or video games or just whatever's going on in the world. Like, they just want to have a conversation. They just get excited to talk to you. And they're like, yeah, the pictures are great. And they like them and whatever. But they're like, I just want to. And then the other 10% are people being like, I want to bang you so bad. And I'm like, okay.
Good for you. And that leads me to another question. Do you think we all deal with on some level, like parasocial relationships with the audience? How does that affect the proximity with your fans? Because I know with like me, for example, with me, my personal life, if I could like put that in a black box and never mention it on anything ever, you know what I mean? Like, as far as the audience is concerned, I'm here to talk about comic books. That's it. You know what I mean? That's how I do think. Either being on OnlyFans or necessarily the sexualized nature of your content, have you found that affects the parasocial relationship with you and your audience?
Yeah, it does. You have to be careful. And this is actually something that I just had a conversation with someone on OnlyFans about. And because most people are very cool and they're very chill and they absolutely know what this is. Like, this is, I'm paying a subscription for your time and for your pictures or your body, like whatever the service that you're providing, which is great. But I also am very, very, very open. And that's something that I don't mind being very open, but I talk to everyone and I genuinely care about the people that subscribe because they're, you know, paying for, again, my time, but it's also, they're supporting me and it means a lot to me. So I definitely spend a lot of time answering messages and going back and forth with people. And I've had like 2-3 year long sort of, it is a relationship with these people that have been following me and watching me on all these different platforms. And then again, I've had like personal conversations with them. So it's happened a couple of times where I think people get confused as to what it is. Like, yes, I care about you as a person, but this isn't anything more than what this is. And there have been a couple of times where I've had to sort of do a little bit of damage control or be like, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but this is not what you're thinking it is.
Like, they're trying to meet up kind of damage control, or
I've gotten a little bit of that, but I've also gotten where people think that like they're the only ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and I'm like, no, this is
I need to break it to you. This is my job.
Yeah, like, this is a business. And I care about you as a person, and you're really, really great. And I like these conversations that we have, but this is still my business, and my business is me, and I have to do what I'm doing.
It's interesting to me. And I think it'll be interesting to hear both of your thoughts on this, since you both talked about kind of being more open with your bodies and stuff like that. But as a guy, there's like no expectation of me posting sexy photos. Guys do that. And if I were in better shape, I could do that. But there's no expectation of it. Right. And I feel like, I feel like there, not necessarily there's an expectation from fans, but I do see, you know, a lot of women in the space that sometimes it aligns with what their brand normally is and sometimes it doesn't, but it almost feels like there's this obligation. Do you all ever feel that obligation? Does it seem in some senses maybe unfair?
You know, I'm curious because DJ, think that that is relevant to a question that I had for Zia about this too, because when I post bikini pics or any kind of like sexier picture, I lose 1,000 followers every time.
Same, Roxy. I lose, like, if I lost 300 followers in the past like 2 weeks just from posting slightly racier stuff because I've been feeling it. I don't know, damn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I think that, like, I'm not sure exactly with your page how you feel about this, but especially like when I went from having, I had never posted a bikini pic and was always posting professionally to then like showing, and for me, I'm a lifestyle person, so I'm not really posting bikini pics like here is me being sexy. I'm like, I'm on the beach and this is what my day looked like today, and here I am in an office and here I am at the beach and mm-hmm. here I am, like, it's just kind of part of my life, so I'm just posting pictures of my life. And 10 out of 10 times when I post a bikini picture, I lose a ton of followers, and so I think that's the weirder part for me, DJ, in terms of there does seem to be this expectation, like, or this want, or people always saying like, maybe if you posted sexier content, you would be doing better. Mm-hmm. And that's not why I do post any sexy content. But then when I do post a bikini pic to lose 1,000 followers, I'm like, this feels so weird. I'm confused.
Yeah. Yeah, that is confusing.
Yeah.
I think it's sort of that weird paradigm of the people that they want that from you. They want you to show more of yourself to them. And then on the opposite side, where there are those people that they've built you up in their head to be this specific way. And when you do or say something that is against their view of you, because I've had this happen to me before too, where people are like, oh, I used to like you, and then you like said something that I disagree with. And mm-hmm. and then they unfollow you, or you show a little bit too much and they're like, oh, well, I didn't think you were, you know, like a whore type of person. And then they unfollow because they feel like you personally, what's the word I'm like offended them because you weren't the view that they had of
the image.
Yeah. 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 Yes. Yeah.
That's a really interesting thing. I think that's a really excellent point. The idea of, and I think it's something you know, Roxy and I have started covering more like celebrity related stuff. I think the biggest example would be something like Lizzo, which is different than what we're talking about here. But the idea of, you know, I feel like I need to remind our audience sometimes, like when we're talking about people, like, you don't know them personally. And more importantly, they don't know that you exist. Like, they don't know, you don't necessarily owe them anything, and they don't necessarily reflect your viewpoints. But I think we like to, and this is true of like fictional characters too, we like to imbue, we like to project ourselves into them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And as soon as it goes against sort of this projection that you have or this view that you have, suddenly that person has done a great
disservice. Like,
And you're like, oh, I'm so mad. But see, that's so interesting to me, Roxy, because I 100% have viewed your page. Like, I never thought that you were, like, I think you're a beautiful woman and you're just sexy in general. But I've never thought that, like, content.
Let's go.
Goddamn straight. But I've never like thought that the content you were posting was like, oh, look at me, I'm being so sexy right now. I 100% get the vibe of like, you're like, yeah, look at me, here's on the beach, like, here's me with my friends, here's me doing my thing, like dressing just however you dress. So that's so interesting that happens to you as well.
It caused me to want to post more bikini pics, which is such a weird like pushback. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, if you don't want to follow me because I do this, then I would rather get rid of you sooner.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I think it's weird. Like,
yes.
That you guys have me in one box and I'm allowed to back-to-back post pictures of me in a onesie and me in a bikini because that's what my life looks like. So, yes. Like, I do think that it's been a weird thing, and I've noticed it, and I go and I check every time, because the first time I noticed it, I was like, whoa, did I just lose 1,000 followers? And then I was like, shit, this is a real thing. We're like clockwork every time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, and I wonder if sometimes, and this is entirely anecdotal, I cannot speak for all men, but I do think something that I hear a lot from women that I don't necessarily think men, and by men I probably mean more specifically me, but like, don't think about, in that I just wear what I wear, So if I think women talk a lot about, like, I'm like, you're mentioning now, Roxy, like, you're posting a bikini picture because that's your life, or you're posting something sexy because you feel good in it. I think for a lot of guys, that's not how our brain, like, they would be doing that to get attention. Like, that's what they would be doing. They wouldn't just do that to do that because whatever. And so they have trouble understanding that maybe your life works. You know, like, maybe that's not how you view it. You know what I mean? Maybe it has nothing to do with that. Maybe it has nothing to do with them.
Thank you. Literally, that's exactly it. Because it's 100%. I'm not, people are like, oh, you just want attention. You're so attention seeking. I'm like, no, dummies. The way I make money is my body.
Yeah.
I'm advertising, you idiots. I'm not over here like, oh man, I really hope a bunch of people like me. Mm-hmm. Like, this is part of what I do.
Yeah, because I think, sorry, Rex, what were you going to say?
Just in terms of that, I wonder if this is different for you than it is for me, then, Zia, or if it's the same for you. So it's like you have different platforms for different things, right? Mm-hmm. So I would expect one kind of conversation to take place on OnlyFans, one kind of conversation to take place on Instagram, a different kind to take place on X or whatever he decided to call it this mm-hmm. week.
They changed the symbol. It's now got like cracks and stuff in it.
I know. Ooh, I saw so that. Cool. And I see Mike saying that Elon's going to remove the block feature, which will be my final straw on that app. I absolutely cannot be on an app where you can't block anybody.
Well, Roxy, I'm sure you'll still be able to block people if you pay for it.
That would be so crazy. But I am curious. Sometimes, like, I'll post a picture of me on Instagram and it will be me and my grandma, or me, like, just chilling like this, and people will write on it like, show us your tits or some mm-hmm. shit like that. Oh, right.
Yeah.
And they're, or they'll, like, whatever it is, they'll comment on, like, that's a very booby top. Like, I remember I wore this outfit to Disneyland, where, by the way, they have an indecent exposure rule where if you're wearing too little, they don't let you in. So I know I wasn't wearing too little because mm-hmm. I was in a sports bra and leggings, a matching set, and people were commenting like, holy shit, those melons, like, you shouldn't be allowed in there with kids or whatever. And I'm curious for you, like, because you might get one kind of comment on OnlyFans, because that's like what the dynamic is, mm-hmm. you get that kind of comment elsewhere? And does it feel weird when it doesn't just stop at OnlyFans?
That's a good question. That's interesting. I definitely don't mind getting those comments everywhere else, because I am advertising myself for OnlyFans. That's kind of the whole, so I totally get it. But there are some times where I see comments, and even some of my, like, followers that thoroughly enjoy the content that I put out, and they always comment, wow, you look so great, or like, you look beautiful, whatever it is. We'll see sometimes a comment and be like, I've seen them comment back and be like, Jesus Christ, dude, calm down. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like a little too emphatic, and you're like, wow, okay, you just said that. And it doesn't necessarily get to me so much as I'm just like, holy moly, you feel okay saying that to someone. All right. Like, sure thing.
Yeah. Will it just be something that's like overtly sexual, or is it something?
Yeah. Like over the top where they're like, oh, sorry, this is going to sound super graphic, but like sometimes it's something like this. They'd be like, I'd eat you out from behind. And you're like, okay.
All right.
This is like, why did you type that? Mm-hmm.
And then you hit send.
I really do wonder, though, like, what is the thought process on their part? This will make her notice me. Is it this will make her like me? Is it this will make me seem hot? Like, or is it just like, I have nobody else to say this to?
Maybe it's just how they feel, Roxy. You know, it's just the heart wants what it wants. And it's just how they feel in that moment, you know?
I guess so. But they feel it on the keyboard and out loud.
Like, yeah. Well, and I think here's the thing, because you know, you guys both brought up religion, and I grew up in a religious community. And so I kind of think, you know, when we have conversations like this, I think about like the dynamic there. And I do think there is a time and a place for shame, right?
I agree with you, actually.
Yeah. I think there is a time and a place for shame. Like, maybe, not to judge this, but, you know, maybe even when you're writing that comment, you know, maybe if you certain people that might be indicted for a bunch of crimes, like trying to overthrow the country, and they're still running for president, I wouldn't hate it if that person felt shame. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like some of the billionaires we talk about, the current owner of X, would be great if they were able to capable of feeling shame about things. I think there's a place for it, right? And I don't necessarily think that there's anything inherently wrong, even though I'm not religious like I used to be. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with religion other than the fact that it has been traditionally for a long time been the preferred medium of those in power to exert control over people, right? And I think it is interesting how it specifically intersects with women and the treatment of women and how it still impacts our society, like we've been talking about. Like I think both of you mentioned kind of offhand, but that idea of just letting, you know, if you're not into that thing, just do something else, man. Like, you know, like I wish everybody on the planet was supportive of trans people and trans rights. But if that's not your thing, just leave them alone. Like, I'm a big proponent of just being left alone. I love it when people just leave me alone. So you just leave people alone, man. I just let them do their thing and you don't have to think about it. That's the great thing. You don't even have to think about it and they can just live their lives.
That is literally like everything that you said is how I feel about like 99% of it. Because I'm such a live and let live kind of person that I really truly don't mind religion except for the reasons that you said, mm-hmm. like 1000% you put it into words. I have religious friends who are not judgmental and who are super cool and some of my favorite people and they believe what they believe. And I think that's great. I don't think it's bad to have something to believe in.
Yeah.
It's how you treat other people because of your views that bothers me. And so it's interesting how people really feel the need though to be like, well, I feel this way, so now you have to feel this way and you have to live the way I want you to live because that's how I feel. And that's so bizarre.
Do you think with part of that is maybe exacerbated a little bit with the idea of social media that it's like this catch 22, I feel like, with social media, because I feel like I hear people complaining about social media a lot more, probably specifically because of X, but in general, and there are a lot of problems with social media. But I do think there is an avenue to expose people to walks of life and experiences that they wouldn't normally have access to without social media. But the flip side of that is that the people that might not be as open to that feel like it's being put on them. And it's like, just keep scrolling, man. You know, it's not, again, it's that idea of like, maybe it has nothing to do with you. Maybe it's this person's living their life independent of even considering your existence.
Yeah, because they're not. Yeah. Like, I don't think about every single person that follows me when I post. I post what I feel like posting. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't understand the whole where people take things so personally. It's like, this has literally nothing to do with you. So please calm down. My favorite is when people feel the need to tell. Sorry, Roxy. I was like, right as you're about to say something.
Oh, no. I want to know what you're about to say.
I was just going to lie because I get this a lot too. And this always makes me laugh because I'm like, why are you telling me this? I don't care. People will be like, I'm not going to subscribe to your OnlyFans. And I'm like, okay, so don't.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's there for the people who want it. That's kind of the point of it.
You know what would really show me? If you paid for it but then never came on. That'd show me. That'd teach me a lesson.
That would be terrible.
Yeah.
So we talked a bunch about your relationship with people on the internet and a little bit about your husband as well. But I am curious, what about family, friends? Like when you started doing OnlyFans, how was that? Have people been open? Have people been weird? What's been the reception in your crew?
I'm so lucky that my family is awesome because I've had zero issues with that. I told my dad the first month I started doing it. I was like, I'm not even going to try, because I've heard that happening to a lot of women who try to keep it secret. And then someone will text their family and be like, do you know what your daughter's doing? Or like send them photos, which I think is so disgusting.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm not even
going to. Why would you do like, what's wrong with you
I've seen a lot of those stories. I just think it makes me kind of nauseous that people think to do that, something that gross. But yeah, so I told my dad the first month, and of course, no one wants to think of their kid in a sexual way, just like you don't want to think about your parents. Like, I know my parents did it to have me, but you don't want to think about it. So it's like one of those things that he doesn't want to think about it, but he was very, very cool with it. He was like, okay, well, you're happy. Like, you feel okay about it. He's like, you're doing well. And I told him, and he was like, I told him that I was enjoying it. It's been great. It's making me more money than I've ever made before. And he was like, okay, well, that's all that matters. And so he was fine with it. My grandma, his mom, I told her recently, because she's on Facebook. She's older. She's, I think, 80. I just found out that she's been in the BDSM community for like 40 years and she still does phone sessions. And so I had to explain to her what OnlyFans was because she didn't know what it was because she's older. But once I explained it to her, she was thrilled. She was so tickled. She's like, oh my good, just as long as you're being safe. I was like, your grandma, I don't meet anyone.
Yeah.
But so I found out that about my grandma and I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, most like 90% of my family is like super open and awesome about that kind of stuff. I have one super religious cousin who I haven't talked to about it. I've seen him since I've been doing it. He never says anything. Mm-hmm. I know he knows, mm-hmm. but he's never tried to like talk me out of it. But I haven't like explicitly been like, hey, so by the way, I do sex work.
Yeah, yeah.
So do you just, I don't know what the umbrella of sex work is. Is what you do,
I think it's considered sex work. Yeah, it's people are... I've heard people say it is, and I've heard people say it isn't. I'm selling sex, I guess. Like, I'm not physically going to sleep with anybody. Like, sometimes they have, like, strippers would be considered sex work. Obviously, prostitutes, even though it's not legal here, I still think it should be. Mm-hmm. They're still doing it.
Yeah, because no shit. It's the only way to try to keep them safe is to make it legal. It's ridiculous.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
I'm still with you.
Well, listen, when you make something illegal, it ceases to exist, okay? So
yes.
We've seen that with drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Once you make it illegal, our government does such a good job of clamping down on that stuff, making
cocaine
sure
cocaine and heroin
happen.
Have been abolished.
There are no negative ramifications for when we make things illegal, except
Although
for the bad guys.
Just because drugs are legal actually doesn't make them less lethal, so that as well.
But,
so okay, with the religious cousin, he's not bringing it up and just not.
Yeah, I think he just doesn't acknowledge it, and I'm like, all right.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're saying. Like, yeah, you do you. You don't have to acknowledge it. Yeah. Just live your life. Just don't be a jerk.
He doesn't treat me any differently, so that's fine. And I did have an aunt recently that sent me a text message saying that she was really proud of me and that she called me a trailblazer. I was like, well, Auntie Becky, I don't know if I'd go that far, but mm-hmm. thank you. I love you.
Well, they're probably really impressed too. I mean, you said you just bought a house, like. It's a legitimate business.
It is. Yeah. It is a legitimate business. And let me tell you right now, my taxes prove that every freaking year. Mm-hmm. people are like, it doesn't contribute to society. My taxes say otherwise. Thank you very much.
Is it difficult at first? Because I have no idea what we're talking. Is it difficult at first to make a living doing it? Is it like the grind like any other business? Or is it a lot of money at first and then it's difficult to build? Or how does it work? And is it different for everybody?
I would say it's probably different for everybody. I think because I had already built up a bit of a following, enough from all the various things that I did start making money right away. But it is a grind to like keep getting yourself out there, keep getting mm-hmm. subscribers, keep growing, keep building. And it's, very time consuming. I think that's another thing people don't realize. Like, you don't just snap a picture and post it. Like, it's really time consuming. I shoot a lot of content. I spend a lot of time on their messaging. I spend a lot of time promoting. It's full time. It's not just like, let me just post my boobs.
Yeah. That leads me to another question, because I think there's some overlap with, like, you know, I do Kickstarter stuff. Mm-hmm. And when I went to go, I don't even know. Did I use it when we transitioned? I have a little asset. There it is. When I went to pull up the OnlyFans asset, it was like, here's like, when I typed in OnlyFans, like, here's Bella Thorne. It's like, that's right. Do you see an impact from celebrities going on OnlyFans? Because when I do Kickstarter stuff, it's kind of catch 22. There's like, there's more established comic creators that don't have an issue getting their books put out on Image and Dark Horse and stuff like that. And it's what we're doing on Kickstarter. And their argument could be made that, you know, they're bringing more people to that community. I think the argument could also be made they're sucking up more of the oxygen from people that kind of need that platform more. Is that something, mm-hmm. do you have that kind of internal debate, or do you see that in with more celebrities moving over to OnlyFans?
I definitely have that internal debate where it's like, I can't fault them for wanting to, you know, get a piece of the pie because they have a huge, like, why wouldn't they? I understand. But at the same time, it's like, you're doing fine.
You
don't
need
really
this
need
like
this.
I do.
Yeah. Like, I got a mortgage to pay. Yeah. I got, this is, Yeah, I think you're doing okay.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit of that, and there's a little bit of like, what are people paying for from those celebrities? Because I know a lot of them don't do nudity, which is also fine.
Yeah.
But are you just paying for what you would normally get on Instagram? Because you know they're not interacting with you. Like, you know they have a team. You're not talking to them. So what is it that people are paying you for? And I am kind of curious about that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Huh. Have you seen it all? I don't know. There's no reason for you to necessarily know this. Have you seen an uptick in that during the strike? Like, people like, well, we're striking, SAG strike, guess OnlyFans.
You know what? I actually haven't. I'm not sure about that. But I follow a lot of girls that are just, I guess people like to call them in a derogatory way, but I don't think it is, e-girls. I've been following them for a long time. So those are a lot of the girls that I still just follow. So I don't typically like branch out from that a ton.
Gotcha.
You said you had a lot of friends in the space, and I am curious because I feel like at this point, 90% of my friends are in the hosting space. It's just the people that I'm around the most and the people that I work with. But it's such like a collaborative effort in hosting. I feel like unless you're specifically collaborating with another OnlyFans girl or something like that, how do you make friends or how do you build your community so that you can have people that you can like talk to about what you're doing?
So that happened kind of by accident. So there's one of my friends, Chrissy, she has a show called The Wet Spot, and she does another show called Simpcast, which I just think is the greatest name for a show. Mm-hmm. And she's really awesome about like lifting sex workers up, and she brings them, like The Wet Spot is mostly porn stars. So she brings different porn stars on, and I've been on it a bunch of different times, and different OnlyFans girls. And like, so she started talking to these women. And because of that, I've met a lot of people. And we went down to DC Exotica. We drove down and spent I think 2 days there live streaming from the event the whole time. And you meet people through that as well. And it's just, they're some of the coolest people in the world. And eventually you just form yourself a little group of sex workers. And one of the women that I made friends with, Amy, she's also just amazing. She introduced me to this group that she has on Twitter or X or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just a bunch of people in the same space. And we have this like group chain going where we all come together for ideas. Some of the girls have collaborated together. I haven't collabed with anyone on OnlyFans yet, but I do want to. And come together and like basically talk about, you know, some coming up with ideas. What do you usually charge for this? What about this? Have you ever done this? And then also just a place to vent, to be like, look at this message that this idiot sent me. Like, so mm-hmm. It's a lot of that kind of stuff. And then I've become really, really close with a lot of those girls. And it's been really nice.
That's one of the things that, because you brought me back to thinking about the Kickstarter stuff. And I think that is one of the positive things with the internet is being able to make these communities, especially with people mm-hmm. that, you know, don't necessarily live by each other. Like, you know, I do the show with Sal and he lives in Jersey. He lives across the country. And so, and I try to keep that stuff in mind when I hear people complaining about social media or the internet or when I feel discouraged about it. It's like, yes, obviously, yes. All these bad things, correct. But, you know, just remember the positives that do come out of it and trying to find hopefully ways that we can improve, you know, make that more common, the positive community aspects more common.
And I think a lot of what it comes down to also, and I talk about this a lot too, it doesn't matter what system you put in place. It doesn't matter whether it's social media or whatever it is. It's people. Mm-hmm. That ruin it. It's people that make it good or people that make it bad.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's just an extension of how we decide to use the tools. And it's mm-hmm. unfortunate that there's so many crappy people out there that like to ruin it for all the people that are positive and using things for a force of good. But
yeah. Yeah, totally. What were you gonna say, Roxy?
Just those people, curious. Do you receive an extreme amount of dick pics?
You know what? Internet? No.
Really?
I don't get that many. Thankfully, most people do not send me. I've gotten a few, obviously. And on OnlyFans, people typically don't send them unless like I've gotten maybe, I don't know, over the 2.5 years, like a handful, maybe 10 dick pics that were unsolicited. Mm-hmm. The rest of them is if I'm doing a rating, which is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
So, like, what is a rating? Like they send it to you and you literally rate?
Yeah, yeah. And I send them back a video of me rating their dick. That is honestly one of the most popular things I've ever done. It's so interesting. Wow.
So yeah. Did you come up with that, or that you saw that somewhere? And
I've no, never that's, heard of that. That's super wild. Common. Yeah, yes. That's most girls do that. My favorite is it's hilarious. And my favorite is this one guy sent me a picture of it in a hot dog bun. And I was like, you get a 10 for creativity.
For creativity. I gotta say, and again, this is entirely anecdotal, but I really do get the impression that guys are into dicks way more than women are. Like, I've never maybe once or twice a woman that's like, oh yeah, dick pics are great or whatever. But like most are, nobody wants to see your dick out of context. You know what I mean? Like nobody, but guys, for some reason, guys are really into sharing their dicks.
Yes. Are you ever like, just like shred them? Like, is it sometimes they send you a pic and it's like, they're hoping to just be annihilated. Like it's not a good pic and they just want you to be like, this is horrible.
So sometimes people typically tell me that that's what they want when they want it. That is a specific kink that a lot of people have too. I've got a lot of those. It's called small dick humiliation. And they do ask for that. They're like, I want you to basically tell me how gross and disgusting it is. And I'm like, all right.
And see, this is me exemplifying. When you see something, you're like, that doesn't make sense to me. But you know what? Hey, man, you do you. I don't, you know, whatever. It doesn't, I don't anybody, understand it, but all right.
Anybody who's not hurting anybody is A-okay in my book.
Again, we were saying this before we got on air. As everybody involves consenting adults, go have fun. But other than that, you know, if you're in that zone, have fun. Before we go, a question from the Discord from Jake Hefner. Were there any benefits or drawbacks to joining OnlyFans that were unexpected?
Ooh, okay. So the one benefit I think that was unexpected was finding such a good community. I really wasn't expecting that, of finding such a good community of really open-minded, really, really cool people that have become some of my best friends. Like I really, truly love these people a lot. I get a little emotional when I talk about it because they're just some of the best people I've ever met. And it's not what you'd think. Two people are like, oh, porn stars. And you're like, you don't know them. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely a really, really unexpected. I just thought I would be doing it and that would be it. But I've made some of my best friends along the way. So that was 100% awesome and unexpected. I think an unexpected drawback. I guess, just the amount of hate that you get. It wasn't something that I really considered to that degree.
Yeah.
I just figured you'd do it. The people that liked you would find your stuff, I guess.
yeah.
somewhat naively, I was like, oh yeah, the people that will fan. But no, people are like, no, I must tell you how I feel about it. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't care how you feel about it.
I am the main character of this story and you must know my opinion on this thing. Zia, it was fantastic talking with you. There will be links in the description if you want to check out her stuff and leave nice comments.
I appreciate those.
Yeah, leave nice comments. We have a nice community here. Be nice. But for everybody that wants to find you, follow you, all that stuff, where can they find you?
It's Zia_land on Twitter and Instagram. It's just XIA_LAND. So that's just social media. And then it's pretty much Zialand everywhere else if you want. I have a YouTube channel that I'm on 3 days a week live. I'm on Kick 2 days a week. And then OnlyFans, if you're interested in that at all. It's just XIALAND, all one word, and you can pretty much find everything there. You guys, thank you for having me. This was really fun. And Roxy, I haven't talked to you in so long. I'm so happy to catch up.
We got to do a further catch up. I got to know more about what's going on, but I'm glad that we're able to have this.
Roxy, what should people be looking for from you?
Ooh, just everywhere at Roxy Stryer, forever trying to figure out what SAG does and does not want me to talk about. So just a change in spectrum right now. But what I do know is that I have been tweeting a lot about Shark Tank. So if you're interested in that, check me out.
Check it out. You can find me at DJ Talks Trash. You can follow the show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter/X.
Powell's from Stupid.
And we will see you all next time. Bye, everybody.